Fred Film Radio, Edinburgh International Film Festival, Scotland.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt McCrucci from the Edinburgh International Film Festival 2014, joined by filmmaker Cynthia Beat, whose film A House in Berlin is showing here at the festival. So thank you very much for joining us.
Hi.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the story of the film?
Well, it's quite complicated to compress into a few minutes, but it's the story of a woman who suddenly learns that she has inherited a house in Berlin from a great uncle, a Jewish great uncle. And she knew her father was Jewish, but her mother was Scot. And she knows nothing about this uncle, a great uncle. She knows very, very little about that side of her family. And the house was going to be sold, apparently, by the great uncle. That's what the lawyer says. And she decides just to go to Berlin and see the house before selling it. And once she gets there and she sees the house, she begins to ask questions. So the film is about the questions, really, that keep coming at her and in the process change her knowledge of European history, her family, where she comes from and who she is herself. And inevitably they lead her to the question of Palestine and dispossession in Europe lead her to the history of the questions of dispossession in Palestine.
And obviously, as hinted in the title, House in Berlin, dispossession, you mentioned it there, it's obviously the key theme and the starting point to a lot of very interesting questions. So I'm wondering, where did the inspiration come from to pick up that subject, that particular side of history?
Well, I've always been interested in property, the question of property and speculators and, the way... I mean, that is also a form of dispossession. And so I'm very critical about the legality of speculation. And at a certain point after the wall came down, I saw, the kind of shark frenzy of people coming in to get property in the East, in East Berlin, in East Germany, people streaming in to sort of see whether they, to pick up property cheap. And I learned that that there were people going out looking for heirs, for the remaining members of Jewish families in particular, to try and buy their claims.
Yes.
And in fact, since I made the film, I've met several people in the film business who had that happen to them, who lost big chunks of property by, lawyers arriving and saying, there are these ruinous buildings in Berlin and, I've got somebody who would buy it off you and they just accepted.
So, I mean, in the story itself, so did it come from one of these stories that you've heard over the years?
Yeah. I mean, there are many, many stories. Well, I worked with a lawyer. The story is written with a lawyer who represented many Jewish families. So she told, not only the sort of legal, but many family stories came from her. Very moving stories, very, very interesting.
And you treat the subject with a certain respect. I mean, you don't use melodrama. I would almost say that it's just as much a documentary approach that you use as well as a fictional approach. Is that kind of part of remaining very sensible to the story, very respectful to the subjects that you dealt with?
Yeah. I think that's a key in life and in film. I'm very sensitive to people who don't respect their actors or don't respect their characters, you could say. And I sort of hold back. I keep a distance and allow them to be natural, I guess. So they have their lines or they can improvise or whatever, but you see the body language, they don't have to practice it and work it out. And you see the little tiny things that people do. And I like that very much. So I mean, the story is, it could have been much more, I was tempted at times to be much more, it's tempting maybe to be more politically, not to be more politically abrasive, you could almost say. It's very tempting in this, in a lot of these, in a lot of these subjects, you know, the subject of a Jewish dispossession in the 30s is horrible. But so is the dispossession of Palestinians. You know, if you really go into that, it's an extremely distressing, ongoing subject. So, but I just thought, you know, that's not the place for it in this film. It's want people to ask questions, not to tell them, you know, not to force it on them.
Right. And in that sense, actually, I'm going to follow that up with this question, the use of voiceover. And how, I mean, that must have been a process, almost one of the most difficult ones, because again of the themes, and because of the way that you said in the previous answer that you didn't want to be, you were tempted to be politically more politically abrasive, but you didn't in the end, and you went for the question. So I'd like to know a little bit about the process of the voiceover.
Yeah, that was probably the most difficult, the narration. Because I was editing, well, I edited for almost 2 years because I couldn't afford an editor, and it was just a very kind of difficult process for me. I love editing, but it's, you know, it's really, you need somebody actually there to tell you to throw stuff out, and it takes much longer when you're doing it on your own. And I was adding narration all the time. Like, I'd say, okay, now I've got this far, now I'm going to add some narration. I couldn't stand the sound of my own voice after a while, and so and also it had just become very, very heavy, the narration. There was too much of it, but I thought it needed it. And then one day I just decided to throw it all out. I just took off all the narration, and I watched the film completely naked again, just with, you know, the dialogue, the natural O sound, original sound. And I thought, God, it hardly needs any narration at all. And then I started working again and thinking about how, and that's when I introduced the third person, because I felt it should be told from the perspective of someone who she'd met in Palestine at the end. So you kind of, you don't, you know, so the person is telling the story, and she's someone from Berlin, so she knows Berlin, and she tells the story as Stella told it to her.
Right, and in that sense, actually, because you chose to use the third person, you kind of distance yourself from the central character as far as the voiceover is concerned. But I'm wondering, and I'm very curious about it, how this story relates to you from a personal point of view and your life.
How does it relate to my life?
Because especially, I understand that you live in Berlin now, but you're not originally from Berlin, and you've actually traveled a lot.
Yeah. Well, I come from so many different places, in a way. I mean, my mother's was American. My father was British, but he was Irish background and originally Scottish. And I've lived in all these different countries, and, you know, I actually come from a colonial background. I mean, my father was a colonial officer in Jamaica and the Fiji Islands. So there are many, many different ways in which my life and my background have influenced, because, I mean, I look at the way in which West Germany kind of took over East Germany after the wall came down as a kind of colonization.
Good point.
And I look at Palestine as a, you know, a colonization project of the Israelis, and or the Zionists, let's say. And you know, there are many aspects of my life which have obviously, you know, where I ask a lot of questions based on my own experience, and I read a lot about these, you know, associated subjects, and I'm very interested in the Middle East generally.
Okay.
I've traveled there, and it's you know, but it also has to do with my own experience of coming to live in Germany, because it was very hard when I arrived there. I'd come from a very open, sort of tolerant, very relaxed. I'd been living in London; everybody was very cool, very relaxed, and everything. Go to Berlin. fantastic scene in Berlin. Great people making, you know, movies there, and a lot of experimental cinema. But very rigid society, very authoritarian. People always telling you, don't do that, or you have to do it in that way, or being very angry about, you know, stupid things. And in a way, I had to go into German history to understand why people were like that and where it came from. And of course, you know, that I had to, you live in Berlin, I lived at near the Potsdamer Platz in a factory building, and it was just a wasteland and the wall. So I was living in this very, very dramatic setting. And yeah, I had to understand how a society can be taken over by fascism, and and how people are capable of doing unimaginable things.
Exactly, yeah. And you touch on a lot of that in your film. As a final question, I'd like to ask you, given the style that you actually use, the technical equipment that you use to make this film, how has modern technology helped a filmmaker to make his own film and create his own vision?
Yeah, well, of course, it's a liberation for filmmakers, but you have to be so careful, because you can just do so much sloppy work with you know, you can just, and a lot of people unfortunately do. There's a lot of documentaries which are really interesting subjects, but very badly made. And yeah, I think it's, I mean, I resisted video for a long time because I'm so in love with celluloid. I recently, the film that I shot in the middle, I made a film with Tilda Swinton. Well, I made two films with Tilda Swinton. One in 1988, where she follows the Berlin Wall on a bicycle. And in 2009, just after I'd shot A House in Berlin, suddenly we were able to make the 20-year later version,
isn't
where she follows the invisible line, the no longer wall line. Yes. And I shot that on Super 16.
Oh.
So, yeah, and I'm now, you know, talking to filmmakers and camera people about the next step, you know, how, you know, I know people who use video cameras, they use, you know, but they put 35mm lenses on the camera.
Everyone's always concerned about what's coming next in cinema, but everyone kind of tends to keep going to the traditional ways of filmmaking through film. And
well, it depends, you know, what quality you want. I mean, there is, you know, video quality, which is, you know, fantastic. And depending, I mean, I had a very, very cheap camera. Everything was, like, really very basic, but I worked with very good camera people who I think achieved extraordinary beauty in some of the scenes, and light, and you know, we're very careful about the color, and so it has, it doesn't have a film look, but it has a good video look.
So thank you very much, Cynthia, for joining us. Oh. And I wish you all the best for the rest of this festival and with this film. Incidentally, is it going to be playing at any other festival soon?
It's playing in competition next week at the Festival of German Films, so it will be premiered in Germany.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
And I'm very looking forward to the discussions there, because, of course, it's a very difficult subject for Germans. And
it touches them in their conscience, I think. So thank you very much for joining us once again. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.